I'll pick it up afterwards.
Yeah,
I'll try to remember.
Today we're going to be addressing a problem relating to free will that is among the most commonly asked questions. You'd think that people don't really care about philosophy anymore, but people ask this question all the time. Half the time they don't realize that they're actually asking this question. And that's the seeming contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will. This is a question that bothered Rishonim. It may have been alluded to by Chazal. If you take a look on page 9, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Kiva said, "Hakol tzafui v'harishus nesuna." According to the Rambam, not everybody agrees, but according to the Rambam, the Mishnah is referring to this issue. On the one hand, hakol tzafui, everything is foreseen. God knows the future. And at the same time, harishus nesuna, we still have free will. Now, the question, of course, is how is that possible? Intuitively, it seems to make sense that if somebody knows what I'm going to do tomorrow, and they know it with certainty, I don't really have the option of not doing it tomorrow. And therefore, there would seem to be a contradiction. If Hashem knows what we're going to do, what choices we're going to make, how is it possible that we actually have freedom with respect to those choices? So, I don't know how many we'll get through today, and I'm not sure if we'll come back to this or not, but in the Rishonim, there are 8 major answers to this question. And we'll begin with Rav Sadia Gaon and the Rivash, in a sense, the most straightforward answer. Maybe there's one more straightforward answer. Take a look on, again, page 9 of your source sheets from Emunos Videos, Maimer Dalet, Parak Dalet. V'im tomar, v'kasher yada Hashem, shahadam yedaber, ha'im yitachein shehu yishtok? If God knows I'm going to speak, is it possible for me to be quiet? Anu menichim shashem yada kvar ha-pe'ula ha-sofit shel ha-adam, ha-na'aseis achar kol machshava mitzido, v'hachlateso, u'kumo shene'emar v'ashem yodea machshavos adam. So Hashem knows what we're going to do. Note how he also takes for granted that Hashem knows what we're going to think. He doesn't just know our decisions, but the bases for these decisions. And let's skip to the next chapter where he gets to his resolution. Vim tomar, kevan shuhu yodeya bameh sheyihyeh v'kfar yada sh'adam yimred devarau, hare muchrach ha'adam lahamros, kidei shetiskayem yidiyaso. If God already knows, let's say, a person is going to sin, so he has no choice but to sin. Ha'omer kein, ein lo raya sh'yediyas haborei es hadvarim, he sibas havayasan. Ve'eno ela davar shenidmelo o sheamru bizadon. Ki ilu yedias Hashem es hadavar he sibas heyos hadavar. Ki az hayo advarim kedumim. She'en lahem reishis. Kevan she'en reishis liyedias osam. Ela anu bedeya shehu yodeya kol advarim. Kefi amitas heyosam, v'chol davar shemamtzio, kvar yada shiyamtziehu, v'chol davar mehen sheyivcharehu hadam, kvar yada shehadam yivcharehu. So this is not totally clear, but what the crux of his answer is that God's knowledge of our future choice is not the sibah, it's not the cause for that choice. So God knows in advance what we're going to choose, but he knows in advance what we're going to choose freely. If God's foreknowledge was the cause of what we're going to do, so then in fact there would be a contradiction. But that's not the case. Lamashal, I know the sun is going to rise tomorrow, but my knowledge of the sun, that knowledge does not cause the sun to rise. Another way to think about this is that just because something is true doesn't mean it's necessarily true, meaning to say it could have been otherwise. We talked about this a couple weeks ago when we talked about Perek Aleph of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, where Rambam makes a similar distinction. And the point is that something might be true, but it might be accidentally true. It might be a contingent truth. So it is true that Hashem knows that a person is going to choose X. But that doesn't mean that X is compulsory, because it's not necessarily true that he's going to choose X. He could have chosen otherwise. Modern philosophers like to phrase this as, is it true in all conceivable worlds? That's a tool to just help you clarify the modal terms. This idea is also stated by the Rivash, the next source. We'll just read from where it's bolded. Ve'en yediyah zu machreches klal. God's knowledge does not in any way compel us to act in a particular way. Ki acharehu nach sha'adam yesh lo b'chira v'haya afshar lo la'asos ha'hefech. Hine, k'sheyda Hashem shehu ya'aseh po'al ploni, yeda shi'aseh zeh b'chiraso. God knows I'm going to choose something, and he knows that I'm going to freely choose it. V'shehaya afshar lo la'asos ha'fcho. God also knows that I could have chosen to do otherwise. Note, by the way, that we're referring to will know and the like. The easiest solution, which we're going to get to later, I'm only getting it to later because it's only explicitly formulated by later thinkers, so doing this a little bit more chronologically, so we're going to start with Rav Sadia Gaon and go to the Rambam and the like, but the simplest answer, of course, to the question is that the formulation of the question and the terms is incorrect, because they refer to God within time, like God knows what I'm going to choose tomorrow. Tomorrow is perhaps not a relevant term with respect to God, who exists outside of time. And we'll return to that answer a little bit later. He's not saying exactly that. He's actually resolving the contradiction even theoretically within time. Perhaps you don't even need to come on to that, as we'll get to later. But even within time, the point is that it's possible to know in advance what I'm going to freely choose. V'imkein, ein yediyah zu machreches, exactly what Rav Sadia Gaon says. This yediyah is not machreches. God's knowledge of my future choice is not the sibah, or is not machriach me to make that choice, because after all, it's a choice that I will make freely. Sharei ha-yediyah hi, she'aseh ha'po'al ha'hu b'chira. His knowledge is that I will freely choose. Oh. So, basically, instinctively, I think we do still assume that if God knows I'm going to do X, it's impossible for me to do not X. But this is basically, according to the Rivash, a logical fallacy. It's a logical fallacy that people have a tough time getting around, because intuitively, it's hard to grasp. Intuitively, it certainly seems to make sense that if you knew in advance what I'm going to do tomorrow, I can't do otherwise. But that's not the case. It's only if you know what I'm going to do, if what I'm going to do is necessarily the case. I'll just, if anyone took Dr. Johnson in college, so this is one of the points that he makes, that he thinks basically the same point that the Rivash and Rav Sadia Gaon are making, which is that anyone who thinks that there is some type of incompatibility, some type of a logical contradiction between foreknowledge or divine foreknowledge and free will, is simply because they didn't try to write out the argument logically. In fact, if I recall, and it's been a while, and maybe even says it differently now, though it's hard to imagine. But the way he put it was that it's so obvious that there is no contradiction logically between foreknowledge and free will that he couldn't even figure out why anybody would have thought that there is a contradiction. So he tried to make the argument, what argument you would make if you thought there was a contradiction, and then show the obvious logical fallacy. So I'll just put it on the board here. How do I turn this on?
It's on.
It's on.
It's right on.
Oh, you turned it on.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Great. So Let's consider the following statement. If God knows that Reuven is not going to murder someone next Tuesday, he must be right. So the question is, how could Reuven then decide to murder someone? Or, put a little differently, if God knows that P, then it must be the case that P. Right? God knows that P could be whatever you want, that I'm going to miss Kriya Shema tomorrow, or whatever it is, so it must be the case that's P. Now, you could write that in one of two ways. These are just the terminology for notation. You could write that as necessarily, if God knows that P, then P. Now, that's certainly true. Or you could write it as, if God knows that P, then necessarily P. That's a different statement. The two statements are logically independent assertions. And the second statement doesn't follow from the first statement, because it might be the case that P, but it's not necessarily the case that P. So the only argument, at least that Johnson could come up with, that would have possibly showed a contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will would be to make the following argument. If God knows that P, then necessarily P. God knows that P, because he has foreknowledge. Necessarily P. If it's true that necessarily P, then I couldn't have done otherwise. And therefore, there's no free will. But this is simply the fallacy of the slipped modal operator. What that means, basically, is taking the modal operator and moving it from here to here. In other words, there's no reason to assume that if God knows P, then necessarily P. This is correct. Alpha. One is simply a logical error. So there's no... This, again, I'm not by any means an expert in logic. I think we're done with this. And I don't... this is well, again, you know, above my pay grade. But it makes sense, as far as I could tell. And really, there's no... And if you speak to at least people, you know, I spoke to Rabbi Gardenschwartz about this recently, and he was even more perplexed than Johnson, that anyone could ever have a havamina that there's a contradiction between foreknowledge and free will. He thought that nobody would even make this mistake, so he doesn't, for him it's a tzarchian, how anyone could, anyone even could think that there's a contradiction. Now, the answer is that people think it's a contradiction because it's intuitively a contradiction. The interesting question is why didn't, we're about to see in a moment the Rambam's answer. Why didn't the Rambam give this answer, for example, if it's so pashut? So again, I asked Gardenschwartz what he thought. He thought it's tzarchian, why it's such an obvious answer. The truth is that the Rambam might give this answer. In the Morne Vuchen, the bottom source over here from section 3, guide chapter 20, he actually does seem to be giving this answer, right? If you just look. Just read the second sentence here. The nature of the possible remains with it, and knowledge concerning what possible things will be produced does not entail one of the two possibilities becoming necessary. The Rambam actually does seem to be giving this answer. If the Rambam thought this answer is correct, then it's an interesting question. Why does he give a different answer in the Mishneh Torah, which we'll read in one moment? Maybe he thought they were both true. The answer that he gives the Mishneh Torah is also certainly correct. Perhaps it's not necessary to say, because you could give this answer. I don't think it's... there's no steer between the two resolutions. But that's basically the first approach. The first approach is that there's no logical contradiction between free will and foreknowledge, and probably the basis of the error that people think that there is a contradiction is the confusing or assuming that just because something is true, it's necessarily true. Yeah.
So none of that explains how God knows.
We didn't talk about how God knows the future. The Rambam's actually going to deal with that a little bit.
That's probably the reason behind this conception, meaning if the way that God knows what
the future is. So that is a possibility. In other words, Gardenschwartz had a thought maybe you could say that's what the Rambam held, and then He thought that was ridiculous. But there is a line in the Mar Nevuchim that you might read as saying that, we'll get to this in a moment, but the reason, the nature of God's knowledge of everything is such that anything he knows is necessarily that way, in which case there would be a contradiction. You could argue that's why somebody would reject this answer. In other words, it's not logically, there's no logical contradiction between foreknowledge and free will. It's just what you're saying is that the nature of God's knowledge of things is that everything that he knows to be true must be necessarily true. I don't know why you would think that, but if you thought that, and there is a line in the Mar Nevuchim that might imply that, so then you would have a contradiction, which might be the reason why another solution would be necessary. Yeah?
It's very similar. I'm not sure if this is the exactly the obvious question, but even if God's knowledge doesn't on its own make the fact necessarily true, if something else necessitates God's knowledge, that same thing is what necessitates or not.
Yeah, it's the same point.
The same thing, yes.
Yeah. That if you think that's true, I don't want to get into that more now, but I personally don't see why you would make that assumption. But if you, and again, we'll talk a little bit about Hashem's knowledge in one moment when we read the next answer, which is the Rambam's answer. Of course, relating to both of your points, and this is part of the Rambam's answer, that we can't understand his knowledge and the way in which he knows things, because it's fundamentally different than our knowledge. So we'll be limited, or perhaps it's totally impossible for us to know that question. But we'll address that point in just 2 minutes when we do the Rambam, because the Rambam, in his resolution, discusses the nature of God's knowledge and uses that, the difference between our knowledge and his knowledge to resolve the problem. Yeah.
Clarify the term necessarily true.
It can't be otherwise.
It can't, right. So meaning
in all conceivable worlds.
Okay.
Now let's turn to the Rambam. This is on page 9, 10 on your source sheets. So as we mentioned, the Rambam deals with the Bechira issues in Parakei of Hilchos Tshuva, and here he writes the following in Halacha Hey. Shema Tomar v'alo HaKadosh Baruch Hu yodea kol ma shiyah, v'kodim shiyah yada sheze yiyah tzadik o rasha, o lo yada, im yada shehu yiyah tzadik, o yafshar shelo yiyah tzadik, v'im tomar sheyada shiyah tzadik, if God knows the future, so then it can't be otherwise. And if it's possible to be otherwise, then it would seem that God's knowledge is not complete of the future. Da. Shetshuvas she'ela zo. Arucha me'eretz mida. Urechava mineyam. V'kam ikarim gdolim v'haririm ramim teluyim ba. Aval. צריך אתה לדע ולהבין בדבר זה שאי שאני אומר. כבר ביארנו בפרק שני מהלכות יסודי התורה שהקדוש ברוך הוא אינו יודע מידיה שהיא חוץ ממנו כבני אדם שהם ודעתם אחד. So, you have to understand, the Rambam says, that God's knowledge of things, of anything, is different than our knowledge of things, because God and his knowledge are one, as opposed to, let's say, me and my knowledge. I learned something today, hopefully, so I didn't know it yesterday. Does that mean that my essence has changed? I might forget it tomorrow. So will my essence change again tomorrow? No, me and my knowledge are not the same. You can't say that with respect to God for a couple of reasons, and we'll look up what the Rambam now refers to. But first of all, there can't be God and something, like God and his knowledge, because that would contradict divine unity. Achdus Hashem, Hashem's oneness, means that he's not comprised of parts, or there's nothing besides him. And if you say, okay, well then, his knowledge is a part of him. So now let's say, and this is actually one of the reason why the Rambam, how do we know that Hashem knows the future? So, you say, well, because he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he knows everything. Okay, but who says? So the Rambam says, the Rivash also says this, a very simple argument, which is that if he didn't know the future, so then when he finds it out, like when it happens, so that would mean he acquires new knowledge, which would be a change. And the Pasuk says, Ani Hashem lo shinisi, God's unchanging. So it must be then that he can't acquire new knowledge. It must be that he knew it the whole time. Okay, let's actually stop for one moment, since the Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah Perkei refers back to Yesodei HaTorah Perk Beis. So let's look at what he's referring to, which is on the... Not on the next page. I missed... yeah, no, it is here. Sorry. Right below. Yesodei HaTorah Perk Beis Halacha Tes and Yod. Kol hanimtzaim, chutz, yeah, you see where we are? Perk Beis Halacha Tes. Kol hanimtzaim, chutz min aborei, mitzura rishona ad yitush katan, shiyeh betibur haaretz, hakol mikoach amitaso nimtzau. So everything that exists because of the truth of his existence. We explained what that meant a couple of weeks ago. Ulefi shehu yodea atzmo, umakir gdulaso v'tifarto, v'amitaso, hu yodea hakol, v'ein davar ne'elam mimenu. Because he knows himself, so there's nothing withheld from him. Meaning to say as follows. As we noted, our knowledge is external to our essence, and moreover, we acquire our knowledge, let's say by either we could maybe contemplation or maybe observation, right? I go ahead and I read the newspaper and I find out something I didn't know, or I look around me and I discover something. And as we noted, you know, our knowledge is an accidental quality. It could change, right? It's like skin color. When I go out and I get a sunburn, so my skin changes colors. My essence hasn't changed. But again, God couldn't acquire knowledge because that would imply some type of change. So how does he know something? So it's not observation. But rather, the Rambam says, because he knows himself, he knows everything. And that includes future events. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makir amitaso v'yodea osa kimo shehi v'eino yodea b'deya shechutz mimenu kimo she'anu yodim. Right? Our knowledge is from something external to us. That's not his knowledge. She'en anu v'da'atenu echad. We are distinct from our knowledge. There's me and my knowledge. And that's why they could be separated. A person could forget everything they know. There's aval habore yisborach hu v'da'ato v'chayav echad. There's absolute unity with him and his knowledge and his existence. Mikol tzad u'mikol pina u'v'chol derech yichud. Because otherwise, there would be multiplicity. There would be him and his knowledge and his life. He's the Yodea. He's the Yadua, he's the De'atzma. Take a look, actually, in all places, this idea is developed in the opening chapters of Tanya. V'davar zeh, ein koach befel omro, v'lo be'ozen l'sham'o, v'lo be'lev adam, l'hakiro, aburyo. This is something that we can't really understand. because we relate to existences, beings such as ourselves, in which there is a there isn't unity between us and our knowledge and our life, and therefore we can't really understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the nature in which he acquires knowledge, the idea that how does he know everything? He looks within himself. That's something that, you know, what does that mean? But that's the nature of God's knowledge. Okay, so now we're going to go back to our Rambam in Parakei and see. So the Rambam is going to tell us how is it that this answers the question of foreknowledge and free will. Ve'en da'ato shel adam yecholah lasig davar zeh al boryo, u'kshem she'en koach ba'adam lasig ve'limtso amitas ha'borei, she'ne'emar, ki lo yir'ani ha'adam b'chai, just like a person can't understand God's essence, as the pasuk says, ki lo yir'ani ha'adam b'chai, en koach ba'adam lasig ve'limtso da'ato shel borei, we can't understand the nature of his knowledge, how he acquires knowledge, Hu shanavi amar ki lo machshavo sai machshavo sechem the lo darchechem derachai. That's a reference to our inability to understand him and the nature of his knowledge. The kevan shekain who skin shekain who ein banu koach leida heach yeda hakadosh baruch hu kol habruim v'amasim. So we don't really understand how God could know all bruim and masim. Right, we don't understand really how is it that God knows what I'm going to do tomorrow. We don't really understand how that is. Aval neida b'lo safek shemaaseh adam biyad adam. But you should know, without having any doubts, that we do have free will. Ve'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu moshcho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not push us in any way. We're totally free to choose as we wish, and therefore responsible for our choices. V'lo gozer alav lasos kach. V'lo mipnei kabalas hadas bilvad noda davar zeh. Ela b'rayus b'ruos medivrei chachma. We know that we have free will, not just because of what it says in the Torah, as we saw last week, from Rasad Yagon. This could be proven both from the Torah, as well as logically. U'mipnei zeh ne'amar b'nevuah she'danin es ha'adam. Amasav kfim asav im tov im ra v'zeu ha'ikar shekol divrei ha'nevuah tluyin bo. That's why we're held responsible for our choices, because they are free. Okay, so what exactly is the Rambam saying? So the Rambam says, first of all, that we're never going to really be able to understand this resolution fully. Now, some understand the Rambam basically as saying there's no contradiction. Free will is true, foreknowledge is true, and there is no contradiction, but you can't understand how. We know that God knows the future. We also know that we have free will, and how the two of them are resolved is something that we can't understand, we can't know. Sounds like actually that's the way the Ravid understood the Rambam, which is why he objects, why are you asking questions that you can't answer? Now, it could be that the Rambam thinks it's important to address this point even if you can't answer it, and that's why the Rambam raised the issue. But it's also possible to say, and if you take a look, among others, at the Avodas HaMelech and some of the other Mefarshei Rambam, they make this point, heard this from Rav Tursky as well, that the Rambam is not saying that. The Rambam is saying that there is a resolution. And the resolution is that we have to distinguish between human knowledge and divine knowledge. As we said, God's knowledge is not external, but it's part of his essential being. And therefore, whereas with respect to our knowledge, which is an accidental quality, that's not the case with respect to God's knowledge. Now, if that's true, then really there is no contradiction. because our intuition, that our presumption that foreknowledge would prevent freedom, would be the case perhaps with respect to human knowledge and the type of knowledge that we're familiar with. But it's not the case when it comes to inherent knowledge, and that's because his knowledge is not separate from himself. It doesn't emanate from external sources. Let me try to explain it. My knowledge comes from an external source. So if I were to, I don't know, read in a newspaper or look in a crystal ball or something like that and find out what you're going to do tomorrow, so then you can't do otherwise because the crystal ball said you're going to do X. But with respect to God's knowledge, which isn't coming from an external source, so then there is no such contradiction. Let's just take a quick look at how the Avodas HaMelech puts it. First of all, at the bottom of page 10, I summarized part of a perek from the Mor Nevuchim where the Rambam adds to the nature of Hashem's knowledge and highlights the point that it's different from our knowledge. It's when we use the term knowledge with respect to us and with respect to God, it's homonyms, meaning to say we use the same word, but the words have two totally different meanings. There's a certain commonality, perhaps, but really it has a different meaning. Take a look at page 11, where you have the Avodas HaMelech. I'll read from where it's bolded, third paragraph. Ve'al zeh ba'a tshuvas rabbeinu, u'pitaron ha'she'ela gamor. Ki ilu ha'isa yedias ha'bor yisbarach shemo, ki yediasenu, anu bevadai, kidiasenu anu, bevadai haya davar zeh mina nimna. Aval acharesha bar yisbarach shemo, ein yediaso ki yedias b'nei ha'adam, shehem yediasam shnayim, ela hu yisale shmo v'dato echad, ve'ein dato shal adam yachol asig davar zeh al bor yo, v'lo davar chadash. But then there's no contradiction. In other words, in the Rambam's question, he presumes that free will and foreknowledge are logically incompatible. And in his answer, he shows that there is no incompatibility because there's no incompatibility between divine foreknowledge, which, again, and free will. There are some who say that what the Rambam's alluding to was actually the solution that we referred to before, that God exists out of time, and when we say his knowledge is different, it's because he exists outside of time. It might be what the Rambam says, but there's really no remez to that in the Rambam. So I don't think that's what the Rambam means. I think it's what the Avodas HaMelech is saying. Now, if this solution, so again, the Rambam is saying there is a solution. There's no incompatibility. It's just that, you know, if this doesn't make so much sense to you, if you don't understand it, then that's okay. Rambam saying, you know, I didn't understand it either. It's not just you and me, but human beings can't possibly understand the nature of God's knowledge. And if you did understand the nature of God's knowledge, of what it means to know everything from within as opposed to from without, you would understand that there is, in fact, no contradiction. Okay, lots of questions. Yeah.
Okay. So basically, it's according to the Avodas HaMelech, the Rambam would distinguish between two types of knowledge and say that in one type of knowledge you can know things beforehand, and the other type you can't. He doesn't actually explain why, when it comes to kind of God's internal knowledge, that is the case.
I think there's no reason why you would assume that if it's internal knowledge, it would prevent me from being able to make a free choice. But yes, he does not spell out why that's true.
Right. I mean, I guess because I don't really understand what like internal knowledge means, and I guess that's kind of like the point.
Yep, that's what the Rambam is saying, that ein, it doesn't say you can't understand this at all. He says ein koach b'vnei adam lahasig davar zeh al borio. To fully understand it, to wrap your head around it, is something that's beyond us.
Okay. Question?
No? Is there, like, what's, like, the main difference between the two answers, like, the two ways you
answer? I don't think there's a big difference in the sense that they both fully accept foreknowledge, and they both fully accept free will, and they both fully accept that there's no logical incompatibility with God's foreknowledge and free will. So they're certainly very similar answers. I don't know if there's a nafka mina. If you wanted a nafka mina, you would say that the Rambam seems to accept that human foreknowledge would contradict free will. It's only divine foreknowledge that doesn't. It's not clear that the Rambam would say that, especially in light of the passage that we saw from Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, where he also seems to accept the distinction that Rav Sadia Gaon and the Rivash made. So there might be a machlokes, or there might not be a machlokes, and they're giving two points that could certainly both be true. Yeah. We're going to see Reb Tzadok's answer.
Okay.
No, that's coming up.
Okay.
When we get to Reb Tzadok's answer, we'll go back to it. Reb Tzadok, A, gives an answer, and B, gives an interpretation of the Rambam, which is different than the interpretation of the Rambam we've been giving thus far. The Reb Tzadok reads the Rambam differently. Okay, the next answer. What time do we have? Okay, the next answer is, again, just sort of going chronologically through the sources, is Ravid. So Ravid's on this Rambam. Again, next source on page 11. So Amar from Lo Nahag Zeh Mechaber Minach HaChachamim She'ena Demaschil B'davar V'lo Yeda La'Shlimo V'hu Echel B'She'elos Kushyos V'iniach HaDavar B'Kushya V'chziro L'Amuna V'tov Hayelo L'haniach HaDavar B'Tmimus HaTmimim V'lo Ye'orer Libam V'yaniach Da'atam B'Safek V'ulai sha'achas yavo hirhur b'libam alze. So first of all, in terms of, again, lo yada la'shlimo, could mean that he just couldn't explain it in a way that everybody would understand, or could mean that he read the Rambam as saying that, you know, we don't understand the answer at all. Again, maybe sometimes addressing questions, even if you can't fully answer them, is valuable. But also the Ravid does here make a very important point, which one has to frequently consider, especially in the realm of education, which is that to be ma'orer sveikos, to when you can't put everything neatly back together, even if you happen to think that there is no problem, is something that's problematic. And sometimes it's better to, like he says, l'haniach hadavar b'tmimus hatmimim, than to get everybody, convince them there's this incredible question and then not answer it. Now, if most people have already thought about the question anyway, so then this critique might not be true, but it is definitely something that in education, and especially in the realm of hashkafa and philosophy and the like, that one has to keep in mind. Okay, so now having addressed the methodological point, he addresses the substantive point. V'afal pish ein shuva nitzachas al zeh, tov hu l'smoch lo k'tzas tshuva v'omer. So the Ravid says, I'm not going to give you a absolute, complete, total answer. The answer that I'm going to give you is incomplete to some degree, but at least it's something. He thinks it's something that the Rambam didn't do, because the Rambam didn't answer the question at all. I'm going to give you an answer, though perhaps a partial answer. Imayu tzidkas adam v'rishato tuluyim b'gzeiras habore yisporach hayinu omrim sheyidiyaso hi gzeiraso. If it were the case that the righteousness or the wickedness of a person are dependent upon the gzeira of Hashem, so then the question would be very problematic. In other words, if I actually stopped here, I would think that he's saying exactly what the Rasag said, which is that arts, even though God knows whether we will be a tzaddik or a rasha, but that yidiyah is not a gzeira. In other words, if the yidiyah was a gzeira, if his foreknowledge decreed made it necessarily the case that we would be X, so then, of course, how could we be not X? But that's not true. However, the Ravid does continue. V'achshav shaborei hesir zu hamemshala miyado umasra biyad ha'adam ein yediaso gzeira. Aval hi ki... Okay, even here, I would still say that he's learning like Rasad Yagon. What's he saying? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed this power from him and gave it over to man. Like we discussed last week, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man with free will, he gave him a certain power. Hashem had the memshala, has the koach to control everything we do. If he wishes, he could make us do whatever he wants. But that power he removed from himself. He limited himself, as it were, and gave us the ability to freely choose. And then he says, I think this is the hardest part of his solution, aval hi ki yedias ha'etstagninim shiyod'im mikoach acher ma yiyu drachav shelza. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed this power from within him and gave it to man, so his knowledge of the future is not a gzeira, but rather it's like the knowledge of astrologers who know through some other force what's going to be, how a person is going to end up. In other words, astrologers might also know the future, but they know the future by looking at certain things, whatever it is, the stars, the constellations, whatever, and they somehow know what's going to be. V'adavar yadua, shekol mikra adam, katan v'gadol, masro habore b'koach hamazalos. It is well known that everything that happens, whether big or small, HaKadosh Baruch Hu handed over to the Koach of Mazalos. We're not going to do the Sugi of Mazal today. We're already in a bit over our heads as it is. But the Sugi of Mazal is one that I think is important to consider. Maybe later on we'll return to that topic. But one way or the other, it is the Pasha Pshat in Chazal and most Rishonim that there is this Koach of Mazal. Even though we say Ein Mazal Yisrael, if you actually look at the Gemara that says that at the end of Shabbos, it's pretty clear what that means is not that there's no Mazal, but it means that the Mazal is not absolutely unalterable, meaning to say person through extraordinary Maisim Tovim or Tefillah or the like can Ki'ilu Tzteh Mitzdegnino Shelcha, can leave their Mazal. But one way or the other, the Ravid here says that kol maisa adam are maser lemazel, and again he said before that's the way by which its dagninim are able to predict the future. Ela shenasan bo haseichel liyoso machziko lotzes mitachas hamazel. So while Hashem put all kochos into mazalos, what's going to be? You can look at the mazel and find out. But he also gave man the koach to use his seichel and not be dictated by his mazel. And that's what free will is. Free will is Hashem's having given me the seichel to not go by what's natural. In other words, in a sense, there's sort of a natural path that a person would naturally take, based off of mazel, or maybe we'll say based off of nature or nurture or all sorts of other factors. And a person is the koach using his seichel to emerge from the shackles of mazel, liyoso tov o ra, to choose good or evil, v'abore yodea koach hamazel rigav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, A, knows the kochos of the mazel, Meaning to say, he knows what the mazel is going to predict. He knows what, you know, where I should end up, alpi mazel, or again, alpi teva, or alpi nature, alpi nurture, all those things Hashem knows. And he also knows, im yeshkoch b'secha lohotzio lezeh miyado, imlo, he knows whether I have the koach to overcome my mazel and not act according to that which the mazel, the mazel or teva or whatever it is dictates. Vizu hayedia ein agzera. This yedia, meaning say God's knowledge of the mazel as well as his knowledge that whether or not or the extent to which I'm able to be yotze from that koach of the mazel, that type of knowledge is not agzera. Now, what does he mean? What's his answer? So, and then he concludes, v'kolze einenu shava. Talk about what he means by that also. So what exactly is his answer? So, it's not so clear. We will see, actually, that among the Mefarshim, there are different interpretations of what the Ravid means. However, we're running out of time for today. Next week, maybe I'll say a different pshat in what the Ravid means. But in terms of for today's pshat, I think the simple understanding of and you should know that the Rivash does not learn the Ravid this way. But I think the simplest reading of the Ravid is he's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's foreknowledge is not complete, is not total. He's saying that Hashem knows our natural path, where we would naturally end up. He also knows the extent to which we could overcome that natural path. But because he doesn't know definitively what choice I'm actually going to make, so then that knowledge that he has is not binding. It's not exera. I could do otherwise. It's not, therefore, a contradiction to free will. In other words, it sounds to me like the Ravid is saying that he absolutely endorses free will, and because he sees that there is, in fact, a contradiction between free will and foreknowledge, so he is, in a sense, limiting foreknowledge, saying God's foreknowledge is not absolute. Now, how could that be? Hashem is perfect in every way. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient. So the Ravid, I think, is alluding to the answer. He's saying that, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the koach to know the future, and should he wish to know the future, he could do so. But he limited himself, he relinquished himself of that power in order to give man free will. And if it is the case that there's a logical contradiction between free will and foreknowledge, then to limit HaKadosh Baruch Hu's foreknowledge does not contradict the notion of Hashem's being a kol yachol, because there's no chisaron here. If you remember in the first semester, we talked about how a number of Rishonim assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot do that which is logically impossible. Even though we call God omniscient, that means that he could do anything that's theoretically possible, anything that's logically possible. But the Rambam, the Rashba, and others all assume that if something is logically impossible, he can't do it. That doesn't reflect a chisaron, because it's by definition impossible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly can't destroy himself, because he necessarily exists. He can't multiply himself, because he is absolutely one. He can't take on a physical form, because that would contradict his oneness. It's a logical impossibility. God can't do what's logically impossible. We saw the Rashba say that would apply to even certain geometrical laws and the like. So if it is the case that there's a contradiction between foreknowledge and free will, they're logically incompatible, then And it is also the case that God gave us the power to freely choose, then it's not problematic to say that God lacks foreknowledge, at least absolute foreknowledge. Now, this view, even if the Ravid didn't say it, though I do think it's the Pashtus and the Ravid, there are others who said it. The Ralbag is the most famous among them, and Mohammad Sashemi develops this idea. We won't have time today, I guess, to look at it inside. It's also the view of the Shla, which you see down here on page 11. The Shla claims it's the view of the Ramban, though I don't think that that's the only way to read the Ramban. The Pashas, I think, in the Ramban is not that way, but that's the way the Shla learns the Ramban. There's a Rashi that sounds like he's saying that, though again, I don't think it's Machrach. Maybe later we'll get back to the Makoros. So there do seem to be some thinkers that endorse this view. And again, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lacks any ability, and should he wish to, as it were, rescind the power at any moment and know the future, then he would know the future. But then we wouldn't have that freedom. And part of the gift of freedom, the Meshech Chachma says something along these lines. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamtzem himself in order to give us Bechira Chafshis. And that's basically what the Ravid seems to be saying. As I said, if it's not the Ravid, it's Ralbag, and possibly others as well. Now, important question, which I guess we don't have time to discuss today, is if you're going to question Hashem's foreknowledge, well, how do we know he has foreknowledge, and is it something you could question? So we mentioned the Rambam holds, the Rivash says this as well. The Rivash claims the Ravid isn't saying this. He thinks, but the Rambam and Rivash write that Hashem knows the future because if he didn't, that would imply change. So you have to overcome that logical argument. But I don't think it's a problem if you acknowledge the logical impossibility. There are a number of statements in Chazal that do imply that Hashem knows the future. If you want to take a look at some of them, you could see them on page 12 going on to 13. And the truth is, if you look at the Shla deals with these Mekoros that imply that God has absolute foreknowledge and tries to show that they're not Mochrach. Take a look. Right, let's say we started off with the Mishnah called Tzafui, but again, if you learn it like the other Mefarshim on that Mishnah, take a look at Rav Avadya Mibar Tanur, it's not a Raya. And some of these other Makoros, so again, the Shla shows how, deals with them and shows how they're not Mochrach. Okay, so we'll stop here, and we'll pick up next week Be'ezras Hashem. Have a good Shabbos.
Hello, how are you?
Shalom Aleichem. You responded from last week.
I was thinking about it. I actually think I meet him last night.
Huh?
Probably. But the problem with God outsourcing his knowledge in the way of being zealous.
I don't, no, it's not outsourcing his knowledge to himself. It's a mushroom. He's saying just like the knowledge.
Okay. I guess, like, sorry, just to play on that question. That seems to, that smacks of multiplicity.
No, not at all. He gave, what I think he means is that mazalos have a